Most gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you for the words of each and every one of our youth that came up to speak here. Father, how it can be a challenge sometimes to speak in front of people. But yet, Father, we heard the excitement in them to share and not only the time they were able to spend off and fly in fellowship with other people their age, but all who share that common hope in Christ. But also, Father, how you have touched their hearts and helped them to grow to you. I pray, Father, for your continued spirit and hand in their lives, that they would continue to grow, but Lord, not just them, all of us. May we daily seek after your Holy Spirit to draw us closer to you, that we may marvel in who you are, the great I am. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'll give you a couple quick explanations, by the way. For any of you that are either new or unfamiliar with the term fly, you may be like, why do they keep talking about buzzing insects? FLY stands for Free Lutheran Youth. It's our youth convention that we do every other year with the Free Lutheran Youth Group. So that's when you hear the word FLY come up, that's what we're going to talk about. The kids were mentioning Ben Glenn. We had three kind of national acts that we closed out each night with. Ben Glenn is called the Chalk Guy, and he was hysterical. But it's funny because Ben talked a lot about his life struggling with learning disabilities, ADD, and the guy is a human squirrel. He's just all over the place, right? And it was weird because God used him with his talent to actually take chalk, and you get a big black bed sheet and on a frame, and he colors the most amazing things with chalk and a bed sheet. I mean, to the point where kids are standing ovation at the end of it. It was truly magnificent. What a great way for the kids to see how God can use you no matter what you think about yourself. And so when they kept mentioning Ben, I know that one influenced them greatly. The drive out there was to Estes Park, Colorado, 22-hour drive. I had the teenage car both ways. Sometimes there was six kids in the car. Sometimes there was five, depending on the mood that I was in at the moment. Most of the time, it was six kids. We got a little squirrely. By the way, if any of you own stock in like Nabisco or any of the snack food or candy companies, your stock prices would have gone up, because that's what long car trips are for, is eating stuff that your parents would cringe at. But 1,600 people were at FLY this year, between students and leaders, and it was really something to see. The interaction with these kids, between the leaders who have poured their hearts into these kids. You know, you look at Jordan, and Jordan had an idea for us to do our youth group one night. It turned into Blubberfest. That's how you get when you get teenage girls. It's all tears, right? But it was still really wonderful. He wanted us to do a circle of encouragement. We don't do that enough. We love to bust on each other, give each other a hard time, but why don't we sit around and discuss something that we really like about the other person? Truly where they're gifted at, an amazing point. It was such a wonderful thing, and you think about it, Jordan has dedicated his life to doing this, to helping these kids grow in a relationship with God in a world that is trying to take them from. So it was really wonderful to be able to go and see people like Jordan, like Sarah, like all the youth leaders that were there that want to make sure these kids understand how loved they are, not only by God, but by the church. And I want to talk about that today with our sermon as well. I want to hit on a couple things that I learned while I was at FLY as well. And I really want to share these couple things for the sake of hopefully not just me sharing my accounts. That's not what this is about. But sharing the areas that God spoke to me, and I hope they can help in both your personal growth and most importantly in our growth together as a church. So friends, I would ask that you'd please stand for the reading of our sermon text. And our sermon text today, Eileen kind of burst my bubble as she read it already, so thanks for that, Eileen. Our sermon text today, as you can see on all of our shirts with our FLY shirts, you know, they got the I Am, Isaiah 45, 5 through 6, and it read this. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Besides me, there is no God. I equip you, though you do not know me, that people may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. You may be seated. You know, it's such a short text right there. And I remember when I first heard the text, I'm like, you know, it's a cool-looking logo. They're playing off, you know, the fact that we're in the mountains, all that other stuff. And then as the week went on, I understood the point of this text. And this text with the I Am is probably the most important text for us to know in a church because this is who God is. And if we're going to come to church every Sunday, we need to know who I am is. So I want to talk this morning about how that lesson and what they taught and how that applies to our youth today. But also, I think it's equally important for us that it was not just a message directed at the kids, but at all of us. That we would realize who God truly is. Because this text opened my eyes up in ways that I hadn't seen it before. This text opened my eyes up in a way that I didn't even fully realize who God is. And so this message, while it was so great for teenagers, who we often accused of being rather self-absorbed, right? And I sat in the car ride listening to it. Vapid might describe most of the conversations. I probably contributed to a lot of those as well. But the thing is, we can't just sit there and say, kids, all they think about is themselves, because we do it too. And it's the different areas and the different things that we get caught up in and obsessed with, the things that are not focusing on I am. Because the reality is, friends, it's said in that final verse, I am the Lord and there is no other. But all too often we forget that. All too often we focus on the world. All too often we don't focus on I am, and that's where our problems come from. When you take your focus off God and you place it on yourself and on the things of the world, that's where your problems come in. And so the first area of our message that we heard for the kids and that I want to talk about today is how the I am pertained to our youth. But this is not a message directed at our youth. They spent a week hearing this. This is directed at us as a congregation. The first part is the I am, and that is our kids need to know this. They need to know, I am the Lord and there is no other. Sometimes as adults, I think we can make the mistake of getting on our high horse and, yeah, if all the kids knew that, this world would just be a better place. And maybe that's right, but we're kind of falling into that category too. All right? And while it is important for youth to know that and understand that, it is our job as the church to help teach them that. Because I learned this much, and I've been learning this much over the last year as I've been studying youth culture, these kids today have it harder than we can even imagine. All right? I remember my mom would say when I was growing up, we'd go through tough times, mom would say, I know what you're going through. I bet if I ask all of you adults here, did your parents say that to you when you were a kid and you had kid drama, and they'd say, I know what you're going through. You might roll your eyes, no, you don't. Oh. You know, and you're all just devastated because all the little things in life matter that much. But they did, right? They did get it because they were there too with the silly teen dramas and all the, you know, Billy is doing this and this girl said that and this, that nonsense, right? It's a different world today with these kids. We can't say that anymore to them because we don't know. You know, I look back and I think I'm probably wrapping up as one of like the last generations that a parent could say that to and mean it. Because the world has changed so much. I mean, back when I was in high school, we still had typing class, but it was on a typewriter, okay? My computer class was super revolutionary for my school to have computer class, and it was the Apple IIe computers. You remember that? They didn't have a hard drive. If you didn't have a disk in there, the computer didn't do anything. And all we did in computer class was play Oregon Trail. And we got an A for it. I don't still know how, but it was a great class. You want to hear how different things are today? I was reading this. The most advanced computer system of its day, the IBM 360 Model 75, that super high-tech advanced computer cost $3.5 million and it was the size of a car. And there was multiples of those computers that were put together to help put the first men on the moon in 1969. Those computers were so advanced at that time, they could perform several hundred thousand operations a second. You know, our little USB sticks that we stick in the side of our computer is more powerful than those. An iPhone 6 can do 3.36 billion instructions per second. That would mean technically if somebody has an iPhone 6 on them, if you could go back in time to 1969, you could have actually guided simultaneously 120 million. moon landing, spacecraft to the moon. That technology has created so many problems for kids these days. Because throughout the course of human history, the more advanced or civilized mankind gets, the less we think we need God. And the less we think we need God, the more problems arise in our lives. The more our stress levels go up, the more our anxiety goes up. And guess what's happening to these kids? This is a generation that is known to suffer from more anxiety than ever before. Because the whole world is about, we can do this. You can do this. There is no turning to God for anything. And then not only that, and we may sit there and roll our eyes at this stuff, but on these super high-powered pieces of advanced technology that make us think we don't need God anymore, that we all carry around called our phones, on it these kids are linked into all these different social media accounts. Roll our eyes at it all that we want, but the amount of stress and anxiety that causes them. Because, you know, you go and you look at the fact that kids today also feel more lonely than ever. You can have a few hundred friends on Facebook, but they actually don't have close friends anymore. And on those social media networks, guess what your job is to do? Your job is to post pictures of you showing why you have the best life of anybody else. And so you're posting a picture that captured 1 second of your day, but the other 23 hours, 59 minutes, and 59 seconds of that day, you might actually be struggling in life. Not only that, but guess what all your friends are posting? The same type of stuff. Their life's better than mine. So the anxiety that weighs these kids down is unbelievable. And we could sit there again and think, well, you know, whatever. Is that such a big deal? That's not even the beginning of the pressures and problems that they face that we have no idea what it was like. Every morning would start off with these mandatory sessions. The way FLY would work is you do a praise service. They'd come on, and then somebody would come out, a speaker would talk about a topic for an hour. Then they'd have to go off to these electives, and then it'd be playtime for the day, and we'd do some worship service at night as well. And the first three days of these mandatory sessions these kids had to sit in, it was these three topics: pornography, suicide, and transgenderism. And I want to thank the AFLC for not being afraid to address topics that we may not like to talk about with kids, but they are getting this every single day. You know, maybe as kids, maybe we might have had a seminar or a talk on suicide, but you want to hear how much anxiety and depression is going up with kids? The suicide rate in our country from 1999 to 2014 has risen 25%. Pornography. Nobody likes talking about that one. That gets awkward. Even the speaker's like, oh, when they asked me to do this to a room of teenagers, I cringed. But just because we don't like talking about it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. And if we don't talk about it, guess where they're going to get their information? You know, when we were young, it was virtually impossible to get our access to this stuff. Or if you did, you'd have to walk into a store and nobody was going to do that. Now, because of phones, kids can have access to stuff we couldn't even begin to imagine anytime they want. As if teenage boys don't have enough struggle as it is, you've got that temptation in your pocket 24/7. Transgenderism. Last year, I thought this was the most interesting I've seen. I'd read through the survey on Gen Z, as they call it, 12 to 24-year-olds. And the survey asked, how do you identify yourselves? What are the important things in your life that matter, how you see who you are? And I think number two or number three on the list was my gender. And I'm scratching my head like, man, back in the day when we were kids, if they would ask how you see yourself, gender wouldn't even be a question on the questionnaire. You are what you are, right? It's not hard to know. But that's not what the world is feeding them anymore. You are what you feel that you are. That's the kind of stuff that they are hearing all the time. And we can sit there and think to ourselves, well, that's dumb. It's pretty easy to tell. You know what? That's us burying our head in the sand. That's not the reality that these kids face every single day. And so as the church, we cannot just dismiss these issues because we think they're silly or we don't agree with them. Teen drama might seem silly to us. I remember one time I had one of our teenagers come in my office, and there were some tears and teen drama, and even this student laughed and said, I know this is just dumb teen stuff. And like, they get it, but it doesn't change the fact that it's their world. It's what matters to them. If you were sitting there at coffee and fellowship time and one of your friends in the church sat down next to you and said, I'm struggling with something, you'd immediately lend them an ear. You'd stop doing what you're doing. Talk to me about it. You care. Whether their problems are silly or not doesn't change the fact that they are part of the church. And we should care about their problems and want to encourage them in the same way that we would anybody else. Because we can't see the youth as separate. We have to see the youth as part of the church, because they are. I was disheartened by an email that went out Tuesday night at Fly to the adults. And I know the pastor that sent it, and I bet if you pointed it out to him, he'd be devastated because he's such a sweet man. But it doesn't change the fact that this email went out about the third line in. It read, not everyone has to go to the late night afterglow. It's for the kids. In that short little sentence, he got three things wrong. And this is what happens when we dismiss youth. He said, not everyone has to go. First off, that was the rule. Everyone has to go. What kind of message are we sending kids if, well, we're above you guys? Secondly, it said late night afterglow. It was actually called late hour. He didn't even take the time to get the name right. And then lastly, it's for the kids. No, it's for the church. The late night activities were for the church, which we are all part of. We expect the kids to be at the adult things. Shouldn't the adults be at the kid things? But we make that mistake one at times. We separate them. Every single person who has placed their faith and hope in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior is part of the church. We have little Nora Joy sitting there right now, the youngest in our congregation, to Gladys Shawland, and everybody in between is all part of the church. There is not a separation. There is not when you hit 18, you'll be part of it. If the great I Am has created you with a purpose, then you have a purpose and it counts now in the church. It might be different and it might change. We were different when we were younger. But each and every kid in this congregation is equally part of the body of Christ as all of us are. And we all have different ways that we can serve in the kingdom. And they're all serving in different ways, and these kids are in a pretty funky world right now. And we got to be praying for them and trusting them that the great I Am gave them a purpose to serve Him now as He does when they get older. I think about, as I was thinking on this, you remember back when Jesus was out and it said all these parents were bringing their children for Jesus to bless them, and the disciples were trying to keep them back, and Jesus said, bring the little children to me, do not hinder them. May we never be a church that hinders the growth of our kids in the kingdom of God because the world wants them. So that stood out to me as well. That was one aspect in seeing the fact that how the kids are the church as well. They're not going to grow into it. They're not a separate part. We are all the body of Christ. And the other thing that stood out to me as well that got to me, and this was just kind of one of those things you're almost embarrassed. Like, boy, as a pastor, you think I would have known this a little better. That happens way too much. God is the great I Am. Do you get that? God is the great I Am. And I sit there and I think, why do we come to church to worship? Do we worship God because He loves us and He gave Jesus for us and so we can go to heaven? Absolutely, that's the wonderful thing. But do we realize who it is that did that for us? I Am is the one that did that for us. When Moses asked God His name and He said, I Am, the reason He gave the name I Am is because nothing else fits for His name. Because I Am means the fact that God is the cause of all things. God is the origin of all things. He's the foundation of all things. He is the basis of all things. That's who I Am is. Paul wrote in one of his speeches in Acts 17, 24 to 28. Paul said this. The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is He served by human hands as though He needed anything, since He Himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place. And they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. That's who I am is. And it was so cool because one of the illustrations they had up there, I wish I would have had it for the slides, but that's way too advanced for me. Like I said, I'm from a generation that used Apple IIe's. I knew how to make the screen blink. It showed a picture of Christ and us in Christ. And then it showed a picture of you and Christ in you. You see, Christ reconciled us to God. So we are now in God. We are children of God. And as children of God, then, Christ is in us, doing the work through us for which God created us. When we understand the great I am, the one who created us for a purpose, as he created everything for a purpose, we understand his work through us. Our sermon text, even from Isaiah, is a great example of that. God was talking to the Persian king Cyrus. Cyrus was a pagan. Cyrus was not a Christian or a Jew or a believer in God. He was a pagan king, and God was coming to him saying, I am going to use you. You are going to conquer Babylon for the sake of my people being freed to rebuild my temple in Jerusalem. That's why God says, besides him, there is no other. He is telling a pagan king this, that I created you and I am going to use you for my purpose. The God that creates the rising of the sun to prosperity and disaster and all things, there is no other besides the great I am. And as we understand who the I am is, it's interesting because in the Old Testament, God explaining who he is as I am, but Jesus goes on now and gives that personal nature of what I am means in our life and for us. There are seven different examples of Jesus saying, I am, and he goes on to declare what he is. John 6:35, Jesus refers to himself, I am the bread of life. Jordan preached on this Monday night. They asked him to do the Monday night service. Of course, Jordan being Jordan comes out wearing a Wonder Bread costume. So our church is going to be looking to hire a youth pastor because our youth pastor is clearly a kid too. You know what I'm saying? But in that, talking about how God is our provider for not only all of our earthly needs, but more importantly, the bread that comes down from heaven which gives life, and that is eternal life. Jesus himself is that bread. He is the one that gives us eternal life. And because of him, we know the difference of what sustains us and what brings us eternal life with God. John 8:12, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Oftentimes, we refer to the world as a dark place because the world does not know God. And in the darkness, you cannot find your way without the light. And the light that is Jesus then helps us to see that path that God has laid out for us. John 10:7, Jesus says, I am the door of the sheep. You see, God is our shepherd, but there is only one path that leads to God. The world may say there is many, but there is one path, and Jesus is that door which leads us to God. John 10:11, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. Jesus is telling us then through this that it is through his words that we draw comfort, that we draw joy, that he would lay down his life for us. Think about this. We're talking about I am, the one whom through all things were created, yet he would lay down his life for us. Why? Because as he said, I am the door to God. And that's how he was that door for us, that he would lay down his life for us, that he would pay the price for our sins. That is why he's the good shepherd. John 11:25, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet he shall live. We realize what's being said there? God, who is all-powerful, we can sit there and think, yeah, but nothing conquers death. But the all-powerful one says, death is no match for me. And not only because of that, not only because he is the resurrection life do we look forward to an eternal life, but the resurrection that Jesus himself resurrected from the dead said, you too will also live in resurrected bodies. We make that mistake sometimes, I think, of picturing ourselves on the cloud, floating around, playing the harp. You can if you want, listen, all right? But we're promised a resurrected body on the new heavens and the new earth. Christ showed us the power of his resurrection. Because he can in our imperishable bodies, as Scripture describes it. John 14:6, Jesus says the ever-important, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Same with the door when Jesus made that statement. This is a reminder that because of Christ and Christ alone, we have access to God. That we can come to God and hope for eternal life. And it's amazing because the world likes to be, quote-unquote, all-inclusive, and Jesus is telling us the all-inclusive nature there. No one comes to the Father except through me. So all that believe in Christ as their Savior can have that hope in eternal life with God. It's inclusive for all to believe it. It's just some choose not to. Lastly, in John 15:5, Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. From apart from me, you can do nothing. Remember that illustration where I said it's you and then Jesus is in you? All that you do is Christ in you doing the work that I am created for you to do when he created all things for us. And so you put those together with those I am statements of Jesus describing that he is all these things. And that he is the one that created all these things, and we get an understanding of how all this comes together. Because you see, friends, when we understand that God is the I am, we understand this is where we get our identity. This wasn't just for the kids. This is for all of us. They have such a difficult world trying to tell them their identities are in a million different things. But the reminder for them and all of us is God is the I am. What else could possibly define you? And as adults, we struggle with that. Our daily rituals maybe define us. We think our successes define us. Unfortunately, some of us struggle. We think our failures define us. The shiny objects of the world that we might chase after, we think can define us. But the reality is, the only thing that stuff does is hinder you from your relationship with I am and an understanding his purpose for you. Because our relationship with him is not about what we think it should be. It's not about what others are telling us it should be. It's not even about us pleasing him. It's about us coming at his feet, seeking his will and his guidance in our lives. Because that is what he wants from us, because that is why he created us. And that's what our identity is. And that's why sometimes we struggle in seeing it, because if we see our identity in the things of this world, we're not seeing it in our Creator, the one who designed us for a reason. So I'm going to wrap up this morning, friends. And for those of you who didn't attend FLY, which is the large majority of you, first off, you should consider it a couple years from now. And you can be the driver in the teenage car, okay? You know what? After a week of wearing sandals, being outside, there was some stanky feet going on, like, man, who took their shoes off? But there's two things I want you to understand. First one is pretty clear. Our youth are part of the body of Christ. Let's not separate it. Let's not. Well, when they grow up, okay, God is using them now for a purpose. It may be different than ours. We may scratch our head at times and go, that's just weird. You know what? He's still using them because he is the great I am and he's got a plan for them. Let's encourage them in that. But the second part I want to challenge of all is to examine our lives. Who do you see God as in your life? Like, ponder on that I am statement. I think I'm going to find a day even this week to just, I'm probably going to go out to Presque Isle, maybe sit by myself and just look at the vast lake and everything around it. I am made this. And he made me. And he made you. And he's got a purpose in all of this. Stop and ponder on that, on how truly great he is. Not the world's definition of great, like, how you doing today, great. But that greatness that surpasses all things. Ponder on that this week. And know that it's through I am is who you are. Friends, please join me in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the youth that we have in this church. We have been truly blessed with an absolutely wonderful group of kids in this church. Father, I pray as a church body we would continue to help nourish them and encourage them and grow them in you. Father, I pray as a church body we would continue to do that for one another. For this world is so full of discouragement because this world is so busy chasing after things that will ultimately let them down. Father, let us be a church that instead knows and finds our identity in you, the creator of all things, the one that brought us here together for a purpose, which is your purpose. May you be at work in us in all that we do for your kingdom and your glory, that it would point the world to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.